desire and interest in your prayers this morning. Lord, bless the word. I'd like to turn to a scripture in Philippians. We spoke on this verse a couple of weeks ago. Philippians 3 and 13. I'd like to read it again. It said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." For those of you that were here a couple weeks ago, if you remember, we spoke about the leaving those things which are behind, forgetting those things which are behind. We spoke about the different kinds of situations of things that had happened to us in the past and for different reasons and having to deal with those and being able to take them and place them behind us. And I think one of the important reasons for that is because if you don't deal with them and put them behind us, they will always follow you. And you'll always have to deal with them. You'll always have to be reminded of them and work through them. And I was thinking about how in the work that I do with the boys, and especially the work that they do with the psychologists that are there, one of the things that they continue to do is bring up the past. They rehash the past. They go over the past, especially if they were victims of some kind of abuse. Well, they talk about it. They have grief groups, you know, if they've lost a loved one, a parent or whatever, and they talk about their feelings, and they talk about how it affected them and all of those kinds of things. If they were abused as a child, they bring up the past and try to get them to recall what's happened, and they may have been very young. Well, they try to get them to remember some of that because it's important for you to be able to remember all that stuff so that you can put it behind you. And yet, the problem that I see when I observe all this is that they just continue to talk about the past. And the past continues to dictate to them what their life is going to be. And I think if you have been a victim or if you've been someone that's been abused, then yeah, there may be a value in being able to look at that and recall that and recognize that, yeah, that's been affecting my behavior. But it isn't something that I want to dwell on the rest of my life. It's not, I don't want it to be what identifies me as I've been an abused person or I've been a victim here. I was unloved by my parents, or my parents took advantage of me, or somebody else took advantage of me. All of those kinds of things. You never put the past behind you. You never put it away. And I think it's very important for us to not just stop halfway through this verse. I think it's important to add the rest of it in order for us to be able to have victory and get on with our lives. As long as we struggle with the past, we're never going to get on with what's before us. And that, I believe that's what Paul is saying here. He said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." And again, remember, you don't just block them out of your mind, or you just don't somehow magically forget it, but you deal with it so that you can put it behind you. If it required restitution, I make my restitutions. If it requires me to change the way that I look at situations, then I begin to change the way I look at situations. Whatever. If I was guilty for those things that are in the past, it was my fault, then I need to deal with that. If it wasn't my fault, I need to resist being resentful or bitter and all those sort of things. But I think the most important part of this verse wasn't the past. It is what he says on into the rest of that. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want us to think this morning a little bit about pressing toward the mark. Those things which are before us. We talked about those things which were behind, and we forget those and put those behind us. But let's speak about those things which are before us. Those things which we, looking out all the way to the end, we have a hope that we spoke this morning. We was talking in Sunday school about the pain and sufferings and the things that in life are not good, easy, and that are hard and difficult. And I think all recognize that life has a good bit of that. And we're not immune from that just because we serve the Lord and are Christians. We have to go through those kinds of places also. But I think it's important for us to always remember that at the end of those, there is a hope that goes beyond, reaches all the way beyond all of this, whether it's healed or whether it's fixed or whether it's solved here. It will be solved over there. There will be a time and a place. That's in the future. And I must keep those kinds of things current in my mind if I'm going to succeed. First of all, in putting the things behind me, if I don't have something to fill that empty place of forgetting the past. In other words, I've dealt with the past and instead of letting it dictate to me the rest of my life, I'm going to replace it with something. And I need to replace it with something that is positive, something that has some value and benefit to it. And one of the things that I think is important for us to hold on to is the hope that we have beyond this grave, the hope that we have that tomorrow will be better. I can tell you from experience that when life gets to be dread of the next day, and the next day, and the next day, it's hard to be on the bright side of life. It's hard to anticipate. It's hard. It gets hard to get up in the morning whenever that's what the future looks like to me. It just looks painful. It just looks like this is an ongoing continuation on misery. Life gets, that's the way the world faces life many times. And they drown it. They start from Monday morning on looking forward to Friday evening, so that the weekend will be a time of whatever. And they get to the weekend and, well, what are we going to do this weekend? Or they drown it in some kind of entertainment or something to dull the pain of reality. Well, life gets to be a vicious cycle when you do that. Paul here said that those things which are before, I reach for those things. Reaching. And I think that's an important verb for us to follow, to think about this morning. Reaching. What are we reaching for? Are we reaching for improvement? Change in our lives? I think all of us would acknowledge we have places in our lives that need some adjustments, some work on. Hopefully as we get older, they're not major. We fixed the majors, or we've got those behind us and we're going forward. But there's still going to be an ongoing, tempering and denying self and working through some of the places that probably we're going to, and life throws different kinds of things at us as we go through different stages in our life. All of those things are things that you and I need to be able to have a positive outlook on those, reaching for those things. You don't reach for something you fear. You don't reach out for something that you think is going to hurt you. You don't reach out for something that's a negative. It's the positives that we reach for, isn't it? It's the things that we hope to bring some ease to what maybe we're going through right now. Those are the things we reach for. And that's what he wants us to do, is to reach for those things which are before us. If they're before us, it means maybe we haven't reached, we haven't gotten those things yet, or we haven't got enough of those things yet. We haven't maybe been completely fulfilled in this particular place or area. Maybe we haven't found complete victory in this particular place, but we're still reaching for those rather than wallowing in the past. of what I haven't done and what I haven't had and the failures that I did make. You know, you lay in those and you just become contaminated by that. It continues to permeate your thinking. Failure, if you focus on failure, you'll continue to fail. If you focus on your failures of the past, you're going to find yourself repeating the process. It's only whenever you can put those things behind and you begin to reach for those things which are before. Now, I'd like to tie that in with another scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'd like to begin at in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Now, it said, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark. I want us to think about that mark. It's kind of like, and we could identify that mark if we, and I think it wouldn't do anything, it probably is the most accurate identification of the mark. And that mark is Jesus Christ, reaching toward the mark. He was the perfect man. The scripture said, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. Now, some people have thought of that as looking towards somebody that is doing well, and you mark that person, and there's nothing wrong with that interpretation. But I think also he speaks of marking the perfect man, Jesus Christ being the perfect man, and him being the one that we can pattern our life after. Now, whenever I think about marking that, it's not only Christ, but it can be marking what I identify to be victory for me. What would it look like for me to come to a place in my life, and let's narrow it down to a singular thing in your life. Maybe it's something you've struggled with in your life. Maybe all your life. Maybe it's something that you identify as a personality problem that you just you've always had to struggle with it, and you have come to the Lord and you've asked the Lord to help you. You've gotten saved possibly because the guilt that you had from that promoted or pushed you to the place to where you recognized you needed God. And you still have not found the place with that you desire. And I remember one time an older man came to me, or came to the altar, and me and another brother was dealing with him, and he was an old man, and yet he was struggling with things that I thought old men would never have to worry about anymore. Well, he said, I want you to pray for me that the Lord will take all of those kinds of feelings and thoughts away. And I said, well, brother, if I could do that, I would be praying for myself too. And I was sure anyone else that would like to be prayed for and zap those things away would be identifying with that. And if they knew that you had gotten that from us by praying for you, then they would be up here next. But it doesn't work that way. There are some things that you and I are going to, they're matters of our flesh, and we're going to deal with that as long as we're in the flesh. And what we want to seek for is not mark the time whenever I no longer struggle or have any problems with that, but mark the place to where I have victory there. I'm able to tell myself no. I'm able to take those thoughts and cast them away. I'm able to live my life. My practice is right. You know, it's like the old thought, you can't help what thoughts drop into your head. But you don't have to let them dwell there, just like if a bird landed on your head. You know, you couldn't help that. But you can keep them from building a nest in there. You know, and that's the way we are to be with the thoughts that come to our lives. Being able to cast those thoughts away. Bringing into captivity every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Then if we can identify real victory, not as this pie in the sky fantasy victory, but real victory. Victory where I can say, my heart is right here. I don't want to do what's wrong. I can honestly say, I have no desire to do this. And then whenever thoughts like that come, I have an avenue of victory that I can reach for and achieve. Now, mark that. Now, how do we get there? How do we reach that place to where we are, as Timothy, or Paul wrote Timothy, that the man of God may be perfect? That doesn't mean never makes a mistake. That doesn't mean he always has every thought that's just right. That means he's full grown. That means he's an adult Christian. He has learned how to live his life successfully for the Lord. That's what he's speaking of. How do we do that? The verse ahead of that gives us the formula for that. Verse 16, all Scripture, well, it begins right then with the true victory is brought through this book right here. This has the answers to all of our problems. Now that is being challenged, has been challenged for the last 50 or so years, more than it ever has been since Martin Luther began to promote and bring the truth back out into the Scripture, and the Reformation brought about the availability of the Scripture and also the enlightenment of what it meant, the Scripture. The Dark Ages were gone. Well, since that time, and the Scripture prophesied that in the last days there would come a falling away. It spoke in the last days that anti-God spirit, that dragon spirit, would be released for a short time before the end. And we are suffering from that, to where the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible, is being challenged as the source for our victory. The answers. How many times do we, and I've been just as guilty of going to, find a book that relates to my problem rather than the Word of God. And I'm not against reading books. I read them. But it's really the Word of God that has the real answers to our problems. He said all Scripture that speaks of the Word is given by inspiration of God. Now that's important, that we're talking about faith here. We're talking about what I believe. We are affected. I wrote this down somewhere. We are what we believe. Just as much as we are what we eat physically, we are what we believe. And we believe what we feed our minds on. The truth is, if you feed your mind on the culture and what it spills out every day, you feed your mind on that, you will become what our culture is. That's why the devil was so smart, or the whole media thing, the ability to communicate with the whole world, the ability to take information and get it to go to every household and every person in that household. Smartphones? Yeah, all of these things have a positive side to them, but they have a real negative side too, because they open you up to information. And if the information is not good information, not accurate information, then you're getting wrong information, and you're going to be affected by it. That's just a truth. So whenever we are exposed to all of this information that is inaccurate, I'm eventually going to start believing it. And you can say, no, I'm not going to be affected by that. I guarantee, I know all of us, we have been affected by our culture. We are suffering, we struggle with believing the Scripture implicitly as just raw faith in it. We struggle with that because it has been undermined over and over and over again in the last 50 to 75 years. News media does it. Our textbooks in our schools do it. Our news report every day does it. Our newspapers do it. Are the lifestyles of people around us do it? Simple. You run into somebody that is openly a homosexual. And then you run into, you get acquainted with them. You find out that they're nice guys. They really are. They can be interesting to talk to. They can have, if you get beyond just the fact that you know what he is, the world tells us that's what you need to do. And the script, and I believe we're supposed to love everybody. I think we're supposed to love them too. And we're supposed to desire to be able to show them love. Show them the love of God. But because we have been permeated with pro this lifestyle over and over and over and over again, the way people think about that behavior has changed. And it's not real, it's for sure politically incorrect. And it even is not always easy to think through it all and say why. And they will say things like, well, genetics, and how can God cast that kind of person away if, you know, all of those things. We hear them. That's just one example of many, 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 many. The whole idea of what a family is, the whole idea of whether marriage is supposed to be what the Bible says it is. We need to get back to the realization that Scripture, all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. Everything else, then, is inspired by whom? Man? To a degree. If it's, you say, well, it is Scripture, but it's so easy and we can't keep from doing it, but I want us to be cautious about it because we interpret Scripture based upon our human understanding. I've said it, I remember, at LaRonger Chapel, and this little sign that sits right here facing the preacher, and it says, "Sirs, we would see God," or Jesus, it is. And basically what it's saying is, we want to hear what the Lord says. We're not really interested in hearing what you're saying. Well, that's a wonderful ideal. The truth is, you get a mixture. You get a blend. You're getting the Scripture through me. And because it is coming through me, I hope and I pray that it will be inspired by the Holy Spirit, which is why it's so critical that the Scripture that is preached be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And yet, because we are man, we're human, you're going to get a certain amount of human contamination of it. And I say that not in a negative way, it's just the truth. You're going to find that it has a certain amount of my view in it. And so, to that degree, it's critical that you also be a student of the Scripture. And that you also be personally acquainted and inspired by God. So that if I would say something that goes contrary to your what you know and understand and what God has inspired and taught you to be, then doesn't mean you reject it. But it means you stop and think about it and you pray about it and you seek to find you get that resolved in your thinking, in your mind. So we all need to be acquainted with the Scripture. Very much so. It said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. If it is, then I need to be, if I am going to hit the mark, Jesus being the mark, or even what I believe Jesus' perspective or desire for me in this particular area that we're searching or reaching the mark, trying to hit the mark. I understand, and it's critical. I first of all view this incident or this place in my life, this problem that I'm struggling with. I view it from the Scripture's perspective. If I am having problems with a certain area, then one of the things you need to do is get your concordance out and start reading all the Scripture that you can find on it. Everything you can. Permeate your mind and your thinking with what God says about it. And I say, don't just get one either, because one scripture, almost all heresy has come from taking one scripture out of context. So it's important to have scripture confirm each other. You get the balanced view of what the Bible was saying about it. Well then, once you've got that, then you've got a mark to press for, to reach out for. You've got a mark to hit. Now this is what God says about this. The very next thing that I need to recognize then is, and that's, it said here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. Now doctrine is basically teaching. And this is the process we've just gone through. We've identified our problem. And now we want to put the scripture to it. And what the scripture says about that problem is the doctrine of the scripture. If I'm having, we'll use marriage as a problem. There's a problem in my marriage. Alright, I get the scripture out. I begin to read what the Bible says about the whole issue of this. And I seek to understand what the Bible teaches about that particular doctrine. And then I begin to make my corrections, because what I find whenever I set the mark is that I'm not there. I haven't achieved that. And so now I know where I need to go because I've got this doctrine implanted in my mind. And I begin to reach for that. Now, it said it's given for doctrine, for reproof. Now there's the comparison. I have recognized what the Bible teaches, and I now recognize what I am doing, how I am practicing this, how I'm dealing with this, and the scripture reproves me. The word reproof is an exposure of. It literally means an exposure of. It exposes me whenever I have recognized what the scripture says. It exposes where I'm lacking or where I'm failing or where I'm coming up short. That's so wonderful. You know, I don't need a psychologist or somebody, an expert to tell me what I need to do, because so often if they have permeated it with man's reasoning, they've adjusted the scripture. It's so important that you get the scripture from when you come to service on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday night. Very important that the whole theme of this, of these services is scripture based. Critical. That's why it's not a good thing. There's times when it's good to talk about our problems or our past. But what happens a lot of times in the churches around us here, they have what they call groups. And they come together in groups, and they may be an older person's group, or they may be an abuse group. Maybe they had addiction or substance abuses and so forth, alcohol or drugs or whatever. Well, they get together. Now we want to serve the Lord. We want to live for the Lord. And so they get in a circle, and they talk about their struggles. And I'm not saying that there isn't a place where that can have some value to it. But if the purpose of that is just to air my problems or my feelings, then am I ever going to be reproved? Where is it whenever I need? I read about one particular group like that, that the group leader said, told the pastor of the church, he said, I want to tell you, we don't have prayer before we start this. And he said, well, why? Thought we were a church. I thought we were soliciting God into our what we're doing here. Because prayer, to somebody that is just new to this group, prayer can be intimidating. It can create a sense of uncomfortableness. Well, here's the situation. You know, if I'm struggling with drug abuse, I want to feel uncomfortable about that. I don't want to feel comfortable with it. I don't want to feel like it's okay or feel like it's who I am and it's, I can't help who I am, so I'm always going to be. I don't want to feel that way. I want to feel like there's hope. So why wouldn't we solicit God to come down and be with us as we discuss and talk about it? So, we need these scriptures to be permeated in our thinking, in our minds, in our worship. And then we also want this reproof. Conviction. Conviction's a wonderful thing. You know, it's one of those things as a child you grow up and you go to camp meetings and preacher preaches and this dreaded 45 minutes or so of singing, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" and 409 Eternity and all those things. I say dreaded if you're feeling guilty. But it's, you want them to feel guilty, don't you? Don't you want to feel that conviction? What happens if you're doing wrong and you don't feel any conviction? How do you identify that? That's called deception. When you can believe that this is okay and not feel guilty about it, and it isn't okay according to God's Word, you're deceived. And that's really dangerous. Much more dangerous to be deceived than it is to be found guilty. And that's what reproof is. He gives us those reproofs. And then it said, for correction. This word correction literally means to make upright again. To set it back up. To make erect that was fallen down. So, now I have found out what God's purpose and will is. I've recognized that I am not there. And now the third offering from God, the inspiration of God, is to be made upright again. This is speaking of fixing. This is speaking of changing. This is speaking of being able once again to live victorious. That is so valuable, isn't it? To be corrected, to be able to stand before God and know that, yes, I was, now I'm not. That's the essence. Whenever Christianity loses that, and I listen, maybe I shouldn't, maybe listen to the gospel music on the radio. So much of it is permeated about this is who I am and, you know, God forgives me and I'm so thankful for grace and mercy that He keeps forgiving me over and over again because I'm just a poor sinful man that just can't help myself. That message permeates the so-called Christian world today. Where's the correction? Where is the being made upright again? Where is the changing of those behaviors? It's so easy for us to be able to allow that to stop right where we got. Yeah, we believe that God is the true God. We believe He is the only true God. We believe His Word is true. The people that believe what I just got through describing believe that. And they also are very honest and open. They become willing to say, hey, this is me. I'm just a human being. That scripture over there in Romans where it says that I ought to do, I don't. That which I want to do, I can't. That's me. They're not trying to cover up. Well, I say they're not. They are. But they think they're being very open and honest about it. But this third step, they just don't seem to grasp. And I believe it's because maybe we've helped them fail to see that. Lord, help us to have greater victory in our lives. Very important this morning that you and I reach for those things which are before with the idea of grasping them. Setting the mark, pressing toward the mark, grasping them. Finding correction in our lives to where those dominant characteristics that we've struggled with are no longer dominant, where we have brought them into control by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our own power. It's not by our own strength. They are the people that spout, I can't help myself, is being very honest and very truthful. But they're not availing themselves of the grace that God offers to enable us. Does that mean we won't have problems and won't have failures and won't struggle and won't sometimes find ourselves in need
of just forgiveness and forgive. No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that if we continue on this route, we're going to find ourselves growing stronger and stronger and more, closer to the perfect man or the mature, grown-up Christian that's able to stand in the times of conflict, in the times when things really get rough. Because we have learned to anchor ourselves not in reason, human reasoning and thinking, but upon the Word of God, the Scripture. It's become our foundation. And then it said, for reproof, for correction, and then for instruction in righteousness. This instructions is very important for us to continue. It is the maintenance program of Christian living. It's the follow-up. It's once we have achieved correction. You know, when a man is born again, he's made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Now I think we are wise enough and we understand. Yeah, we have turned around completely. Repentance is going the opposite direction the way we were going. And we become a new creature in Christ. And yet, there are patterns of life that you and I have practiced all of our lives. Ways of dealing with situations. And those are so ingrained in us that when we get saved, we recognize, hey, this isn't right. But to change it is not always like that. It takes working. It takes being inspired by the Scripture. It takes recognizing what the Scripture says. It takes being honest and open with ourselves to identify our needs. And then correction sometimes, this being made upright again, is not always an instantaneous thing. You might battle and struggle and work with it. I know people that got saved. And my dad was one of those. He drank all the time and he smoked all the time. He never touched another cigarette. He never had another drink. Bang. Just like that. But there have been other people that are true Christians and that have been wonderful examples that didn't have that experience. They struggled with giving up their cigarettes for a while. They had to fight a battle and they may have given in and smoked a little bit. And felt guilty and got down on their knees and said, Lord, I'm sorry, but got back right back up and gained victory over that. The same way with alcohol. There's just different ways that God has dealt with people like that. But the change has been in their hearts and their minds, and they begin to head in that direction and press toward it, and God gives them victories there. But there's a certain part of this. Because we're human, and because we will be human as long as we live here in this world, that's going to require maintenance. Daily, consistent. Paul said it like this, I die daily. Now, you think Paul had not been crucified with Christ? He said he had. And I believe that he died out to self back there on the road to Damascus. But Paul still recognized he had a thorn in the flesh that he had to die to daily. He had other people probably that he had to die to their effects on him daily. He was a human. When they lashed him out with whips and all those sort of things, you don't think he would have to struggle with having resentment and anger toward those? Probably. But he was able to count it all joy when he fell into those places. How did he do that? By daily maintaining a life. And that's why the daily reading of this is so important, because it's inspired by God. And so it has answers to the daily needs that we have. And just the daily exercise of our lives in God is our maintenance. It will bring us to this place where we'll be a man of God, perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, fully grown. That's what the Lord has in mind for you and I. And you and I this morning have access to that. You don't have to be a trained theologian, a psychologist, or whatever else people that go into the deep, dark places of the mind and
try to figure out why you're thinking the way you're thinking, and we don't have to do all that. We can take that to God. And if we're guilty, get forgiveness. If we're not guilty, get power over bitterness and resentments. And then begin to press toward the mark. Begin to set the marks, daily marks, goals, challenge. This is what I believe the Scripture is calling me to. And begin to reach toward that, recognizing that I am not there, have been reproved. That's why when we come to service on Sunday and the preacher gets up and we go away feeling a little bit, like I got hit. Next Sunday, you can, time for Thanksgivings before we take our prayer request. I thank the Lord I got hit last Sunday. The Lord talked to me and He gave me challenge. And then we can also say down the road, maybe that week or on down, because I was able to see that, I've begun to work on that, or I got a victory there that I never had before. On and on. See, that's how we grow and we become. Let's not live in the past. Let's not stay back there. Let's press toward those things which are before us.